Hello and welcome to another episode of the Paper Pencil Podcast Season 2. I am Swarnabho, the host of this show, and this, of course, is a place where I get to have lovely conversations with people from the art world. If you enjoy listening to this episode, do consider subscribing to this podcast and do the amazing job of telling your friends about the show. You can also follow us on Instagram to stay updated on the upcoming episodes. The page name, of course, is Paper Pencil Podcast. Now, in 2022, I happened to meet a really well-known publisher in Delhi. We indulged in an amazing conversation over lunch, and I remember the alu gobi to be specifically out of this world. Yeah, no. So this story is not about the alu gobi, neither it is about that publisher. In fact, during our conversation, she mentioned about this artist from Calcutta. She spoke about him very highly, and that led me to check out his work on the Instagram. I found his page, Shayan Art, on Instagram and was immediately hooked. He is an exceptionally talented artist. And when I visited Calcutta the last time, I happened to see his work on these humongous walls at the metro stations in Calcutta. Today, I get a chance to speak with Shayan Mukherjee. He has worked on multiple projects, including books, amazing murals across the globe. My current favorite being the one at Eden Garden Stadium in Calcutta. So, Shayan, welcome to the Paper Pencil Podcast. Finally, we are doing this after a long time.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Swarnabho. It's a pleasure being here. This is the first time I'm talking on a podcast. So, I hope it goes well.
No, of course it'll go well. Trust me. It's going to be more like an adda, as I told you. And in my previous episodes, there have been so many instances where we broke off from the artistic conversation and went and spoke about food and God knows what all. So, yeah, it's absolutely fine because this is a free space that way. But anywho, so, you know, I have to tell this. I'm very, very, the first time last year when I saw your work, I was like, dude, this is amazing. And the more I went through your work, the more I, you know, explored the stuff that you have done. Again, I have just fallen in love with that. And I think I told you also the last time I was in Calcutta, I really wanted to, you know, sit and paint a wall with you. Unfortunately, the timings didn't work out. But yeah, that's on my bucket list currently, to be able to paint a wall in my city back home in Calcutta. So yeah. Cool. So, you know, we always start this conversation with, you know, all the guests about their journey. And I think that's a great place for us to start as well. I know you're a Bengali kid, no longer a kid, of course, but still a Bengali kid. And I believe, like 99.99% of the Bengali kids, you also were sent to an art class as a child. That's an assumption. But I think that's true. Yeah. I think that's quite true, given our culture. But yeah, why don't you start off with your story? Where did it all begin? Let's go back to the Chotto Shayan growing up in the streets of Calcutta. Where were you again? In Salt Lake, right?
Close to Salt Lake.
Kakurgachi, right? Kakurgachi, you told me that.
It's called Kakurgachi.
Correct. Yeah, so, so growing up in the streets of Kakurgachi. Let's go for that.
Firstly, thank you so much, Arnav, for such a nice introduction. And yeah, the journey actually started way back. The Aakar school, the so-called Aakar school was with my grandfather only. So he was a painter. He was a painter, and he used to have his art classes on Sunday mornings. So whenever we used to go to our Mahavari, I could see Dadu with all his students. He was teaching, but yeah.
But so where was your grandparents' house?
Mamabari is in Bilgoria, it's a northern side.
Bilgoria. It's in Calcutta itself. In Calcutta itself.
In Calcutta itself. So, but being a kid, you know, you don't like someone else to kind of tamper your art or do some corrections to your art, right? So that used to happen a lot. I never quite liked that. But later I went to a school, art school near our para itself, near our locality. But I never thought that I would take art as my profession, because as a kid, you just do whatever you want, whatever you are, you can express a lot of things. Like I used to do tabla, I used to play tabla since my childhood. And tabla and art was going hand in hand. So, but I never thought that art would go, like, I would take it up as a career.
Right.
Yeah, because we have, though we have seen Dadu in our family, but those days, you know, the artists were not that well to do, and it's a tough struggle for artists in those times. But today's day and age, it's very different. You get to do a lot of things, and for being as a painter, Dadu had to take up other jobs so that he could feed his family. But his passion remained, and he used to paint in his leisure time, and he used to teach students. So that was the journey. That was the beginning.
Let's talk about your Dadu a bit. Like I find him to be, at least from your stories, a very, very interesting person. Tell me about this. So is it like he was a professional painter, and that was probably one of the major sources of income? Because again, I can imagine your Dadu must have been, you know, around, let's say, 1930s, 40s, 50s, 60s, this sort of maybe that was his prime, right? A person in that time, for me to imagine a person in that time, at least in Bengal for that matter, living as a painter, I think would be quite the interesting journey, right? So anything that you know about his stories, maybe anything at all?
All that I know, that he studied from the Government College of Art and Craft. And from there, he started as a painter, but then his family, because of the kids, wife, and like my Dida and my mother and all these kids were there, so he had to feed them. So he had to take up other jobs. So my Dadu used to work in Tata Steel, if I am not wrong. Right. So he used to, he used to have a day job, then he used to do art on maybe on weekends or something.
But it's weekends, a non-artistic day job, a non-artistic day job.
Non-artistic, 100%.
Got it. Wow. And still he continued. And he still. So did he, like, by any chance get a chance to, I don't know, you know, exhibit his work in some gallery or something? Because I imagine that has been a dream.
No, but he didn't. He maybe he would have when he was very young, but I don't remember that. Okay. But we could see, like, all he was a basically Indian painting style. He used to do, he used to practice Indian painting style, which is very intricate, and with watercolor, gouache, wash technique, which is also something which we don't get to see very often these days.
Right.
So he used to work on that medium, and we have many paintings of him in our house, and my Mahabari as well. So sadly, he never exhibited in his later stage of life.
Sure. So that was like a big inspiration for you then, as growing up, maybe.
But you know, you never know. You don't see them as inspirations, but they are ingrained in your thinking, in your lifestyle. Everything is there. Still, I remember these things. So that means that these are there. These are there when we're growing up. So after Dadu passed away long back, actually. So after that, I never thought that I would take up art as a career. But later, after school, my father is a lawyer. And my brother was, he was studying law that time. And he is also a photographer now. He studied law and he quit law and started photography.
Both the sons of the house, both the sons of the Mukherjee house decided to leave the thing. Oh, nice. Good. Okay.
Yeah. So then I thought, my father told me that if you want to pursue medical, then one son will be a lawyer, the other one will be a doctor. That will be...
Correct. The dream. The big
like a typical...
Dream.
Yeah. So then, I don't know what triggered me to take art or what happened, but I remember in when I was in school, I was a big Saurav Ganguly fan. So I had painted an oil painting of his, and I went to his house, like, with all the, like, I somehow figured out some contacts that how could I go and present it to him.
Right.
So I figured out some ways, and some uncles, like a known friend or someone, like from a very distant source, I got to meet Saurav Ganguly, and I presented him
Behala,
the portrait.
Right? It's in Behala, if I'm not
wrong. Yeah, it's in Behala. So I was in school that time, like That was like, I think 11th or 12th. Yeah, long back. So I don't know what happened after, like maybe after that I thought, okay, and he praised it a lot. Mm-hmm. He liked it. He praised it.
Tell me that story. I'm interested in that. Tell me that story. So what happened? So you find and you were in front of his house. I think I've seen photos. I think it's a 2-story or 3-story red color ka house. And I
yeah,
think
it's a big, it's a red. Yeah. Basically, we went to his wife's house first because the contact which we got was of his wife's uncle or something. Yeah.
Okay.
So yeah, and that her house was just beside Saurav's house. Like there's
one. I didn't know that.
Yeah, just beside. Yeah.
Okay.
So we went there and someone told us that like us means I was there. My elder brother was with me. Hmm. So. So they told us that that person told us that yeah, Maharaj is waiting, so you can go. So his nickname is Maharaj.
Maharaj, correct? Yeah.
Excuse me.
You know, somehow I always
we went there.
Dada. I always think his nickname is Dada. Why would his family call him Dada? Yeah, right. I've forgotten his surname was Maharaj. That's true. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay, so then, what happens?
So we went inside and we were waiting there. And it's a huge like drawing room and with several medals, trophies, his photographs and all that. Yeah, but after some time he came in and the first glance, you know, when we were just a school kid.
Right.
So it kind of, we were like spellbound that what could I say now? It's too much of... Too much of it.
So it was just the two of you. So no adults went with you. It was just the two.
No adults. Yeah. Nobody was there.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. We were there and he came and he spoke nicely about the art and what we do. So all these things, basic questions. And then we left. And after that, I was like flying. When I was coming back to my house, I was like flying in some other dimension. I think.
Right.
So. Yeah. And after that, after school, father told me that, not told me, he suggested that you could take up, if you like, you could sit for a medical exam, entrance exams and stuff. But I sat for PMT, I remember. Mm-hmm. But after that, I didn't do anything. And I thought I should not do this and I will take art. And I waited for 1 year to get, because the time when I decided I would take up art, then it was the session already started. And you know, in art colleges, you have to sit for entrance exams and you have to clear them and then you go. So I cleared it in the second, like not the second, the first time, but I wasted a year for that.
Mm-hmm.
And I, during that year, I used to go sketching and all the railway stations and all the locations.
You're telling me that day. Tell me a little more about that. I know that day on the phone you told me. So what, you're going to different like Sialdah station and stuff and just sitting in the platform sketching?
Because then the Sialdah stations, if you go to Sialdah station, I don't know about these days, but when we were starting college and the end of our school, so we could see all these art college students sketching all around.
There were
many art college students. If you, maybe you were also very young that time and very you were a kid that time, so you never noticed it.
Yeah.
But so at the end of the platform, so all these coolies, they sit and they used to rest.
Okay.
And these art college students used to go there and sketch them while they were resting. And we would also give them a few bucks for a few poses, and they would do that because they were resting anyway. So they will just put their hand on top of their forehead or something they will do, and they'll get paid 5-10 bucks or something.
Shanta, I had no idea about this. This is absolutely, I've never seen a single person. See, I'll tell you, I have seen people, sketch around the Nondon area in Exide. So that's where I have seen a few people sketch. I have, I think, seen a few people sketch in Robindra Sharma as well. But I have never seen anybody sketch, you know, in. Have I seen somebody sketch? I think Kumotuli, I had seen somebody sketch once upon a time, but it's
Kumotuli, you don't get. Yeah, it's mostly photographers, but in Kumotuli, it's so fast that you can't sit and study.
Correct.
Right now, what I do, I take sketchbooks in many locations. I do sketch, but those are really fast. And when you were starting out, your drawings were not that perfect. But you need to sit and you need to study, observe things, and then draw. You can't just draw anything and satisfy your soul as well. Yeah.
True. But so, yeah, I have never seen
those people used to give us time.
Okay.
I don't know if, whether it happens today or not, but it used to happen back then. So yeah, I did that, but I got through the art college the very first attempt, and but I didn't know that. I had no clue what I'll do next
after that,
because art college was something which was very traditionally set up routine. You have to do still life. We had to go. One of our professors, he used to give us a task, like you have to go and 1 hour you have to do 60 sketches, whatever you find. So 1 hour, 60 sketches, like we used to go around and see whatever.
So literally one sketch on a minute. One sketch a minute.
Yeah, it has to be that fast.
Nice.
So yeah, but you can't do all those in your drawing books. So we used to go to Sialda. There's a market called Vaitakkana Markets. You could get new sprint sheets, and they would sell us in bulk, like in kilo, a few kilos of paper. You'll get in cheap amount. So we used to go and do that as well.
Okay, and so you go buy sketches, the paper from there and then sketch. Okay, on that.
Yeah. Because otherwise you can't. It's very expensive. Every day you have to draw in thick, expensive papers, and these drawings are just to align your hand-eye coordination.
Correct.
That's all. So yeah, so that's all. And we used to do that. And but art college was fun and not so fun also, because the structure I didn't like much, because in our college. Especially, I don't know about the other colleges, but it's the syllabus is very old, and they still follow that. I don't know why. And I was in commercial art. I was not in fine art. I was in commercial art. But they used to do all these typical poster designs and stuff. But the thing was, we could do it by our hand. Like we never used computer.
Right.
We used to use spray guns and stuff. So to give a nice smooth finish and poster colors, we used to do that. But the structure, the topics which were given to us were very boring. I never liked them. Like you have to do some poster design for some flower exhibition or something, which is very boring. What will you do? What will you do? You will use flowers. Some
Correct.
Guys will use nicely drawn flowers. The other one will use more
opaque,
more textured flowers. But in terms of your thinking, what are you doing? How are you helping the kids to think more? That process was, it was more like your skill development.
Development, right. Not the thinking part of it. I absolutely get that.
Thinking part is more important, I believe. Yeah, skill development is important, but there has to be some classes which would help the kids to think more.
Right.
That was not there. But yeah, I had fun otherwise, because it was not a serious college where you have to study all the time. But I used to do what I love doing. So I used to draw, paint. Canvases, canvas boards, anywhere. So that was fun.
So, but did you fit into that?
But I had
the classic image of an art college student in Calcutta. Were you that kurta wearing, jhola carrying, one cigarette in the gold?
That was another problem. Yeah. See, I am not a cool kid. I'm not saying that, but I am not a jhola carrier as well. So I am somewhere in between. Because in art colleges, what I found out that most students come from outskirts of the city, so outskirts of so it's they are, I don't know, many of them had the idea of they will start in art class, art school after completing the four-year degree
Got
program.
it.
But
Got
that
it.
was not my dream. I was thinking that, oh, what are these guys thinking, and what should be my dream then? I was
Right.
a bit confused. So I used to look up that from third year itself, because first year was, you have to go through everything. You have to learn pottery, you have to learn print, like graphics, printing, and everything, graphic design as well. So from second year, it goes into your
specialization.
specialization, where I was into commercial art. So in third year, I found out that this, if I'm doing this after completing college, it'll be really difficult. Where will I go? Because college will not give me any job. There is no
placement,
no particular placement as a campusing.
Correct.
It doesn't happen. Like these days it happens, but when I graduated, it was not there. So, I think just the year after I graduated, it started happening. But yeah, so I looked up, I asked many people that what should I do, and they told me that you could try advertising. I had no clue what advertising was. So I knew someone.
But he, wait, before you get into the advertising story, so one last question on, you know, my or anybody's in Calcutta, anybody's stereotypical idea of an art college student. Did you turn into an Atel who was going to College Street and, you know, talking about all sorts of philosophical things? Did you turn into that, or did you stay
no,
away
no,
from
no.
that?
I am not that kind of person. I am just the opposite. So yeah, it's we used to go to coffee house once in a while.
Of course.
Yeah. So
tell me
that
this.
Was,
okay.
Yeah.
So tell me this. A Bengali to another Bengali. And be honest, and it's okay, right? Do you really like the coffee of coffee house?
No, not at all.
It's one of the worst, right?
It's bad.
Coffee,
it's bad coffee.
It's Taltale, it's Jol purely, and it's by the time it reaches you, it's thanda. It's cold.
It's cold. Yeah. It's a very bad made coffee.
I think cold coffee.
I don't know about these days.
Coffee house is better.
I don't know. It's the coffee house was taken by some other company, so they are like I think they are taking charge of the menus and stuff these days.
Okay.
I have not visited coffee house since.
Yeah, for me, you know, the first time I went to coffee house, and again, for the listeners not from Calcutta, you would know coffee house. And the ones not from Calcutta, you know, coffee house is probably one of the, places that comes up in every to-do list in Calcutta. Like you search on the internet, what to do in Calcutta, coffee house, Indian coffee house will be there. It's in this place called College Street, probably one of my favorite places. Like College Street has this vibe, which I feel no other place has, right? It's a different.
Of course, of course.
And you know, the whole
it's because of its charm, I believe.
Because of its charm, absolutely. And you know, you are entering coffee house, and for anybody who has been to coffee house or anybody who's planning to, you know, it's in this like random gully. You take a turn and you won't even realize there's something called coffee house there till you see a very old board and you enter, and it's a very dark alleyway. You're like, you know, entering Harry Potter sort of a set. It's an extremely dark alleyway with, you know, I think spit all over the place. Political posters, humongous number of political posters. And I think this one mobile guy at the bottom, like this guy sells SIM cards and stuff. And then you take the staircase, which is a very grand staircase. And then you go into this, you know, it's huge. You won't realize from outside how huge coffee house
is. Yeah, exactly. The experience of entering to coffee house is something
it's different.
When the first time I entered, I was like, whoa. Like
so absolutely. Absolutely. And for me,
that's the experience.
And for me, I think I was telling you that day on call that, you know, I did not grow up in Calcutta because dad was working in Assam, so I was growing up over there. For me, in college, when I came to coffee house by myself with my friends for the first time, it was a big deal, right? Like you've heard coffee house like some random number of times, some thousand number of times. So you have expectations, and coffee house does not let you down in terms of the vibe related expectations. And then you
in terms of food, it's not good.
Food, and then you sit.
It was not good. I have not had it. It's a long time, so I don't know about now. But
about now,
it was not good.
But you sit in that chair and you think, you know, maybe like back in the day, the revolutionaries were sitting in the same exact chairs and tables.
Yeah, that was
That song was
Satyajit
there.
Ray, Mrinal Sen,
Yeah, 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 yeah.
those
All of
kind of
them were
people used
smoking
to
it
sit
all.
and have atta there. So
Correct.
yeah,
And that
it's about
class.
nostalgia a bit,
It's
that
about
song.
nostalgia. It's about nostalgia. And
Yeah.
you know, and there's this, and one last thing on coffee house, you know, anybody who's been there will probably know that. Or if you're going there, on the ground floor of, not ground floor, the first floor, which is the ground floor of coffee house.
Yeah.
So there's this huge painting of Rabindranath Tagore on one side.
Rabindranath Tagore.
Right beside,
Yeah.
there's a huge board which says no smoking or smoking not allowed or something, and right under it,
Yeah.
everybody is smoking. Like it's properly filled with smoke all throughout. But since we're talking about coffee houses, I'll just tell you one story and then we'll move on.
Yeah,
I was in
sure.
college, okay. I used to go to coffee house a lot because going to College Street, like we needed a bahana to go to College Street, right? We needed a reason to go to College Street because I love that place. Food is also great in a lot of places.
Yeah.
You get good books to read. You get cheap Tintins, which I used to buy a lot in college, like very, very cheap
Yeah.
Tintins.
Secondhand books.
Secondhand
It's
books,
a
yeah, right.
big one of the biggest secondhand book
One of the
market,
biggest,
I
yeah.
think.
So I was in coffee house one day, and we know all of us were sitting there, and the waiters at coffee house, the classic, you know, those headgear and turban wearing waiters, right? So we were thinking that, you know, how do these, like, if you look at the table to waiter ratio, I think it's around 10:1. Like 10 tables is managed by one waiter, and that's why you have to wait
One
for
waiter.
the time. So we were wondering, like, what if somebody has food and, you know, does not pay and just sneak out, right? We were talking about that. And at that very moment, no, Shanta, at that very moment, out of nowhere, we saw three, and you know, these waiters are old. They are fragile human beings by now, right? And suddenly I see three of them run, dash out of the coffee house, the ground floor thing, out of the door.
Oh God.
And I'm like, what happened? And then in 2 seconds, they catch two guys and pull them back into the thing, and we realize they paid without
Oh.
leaving. And I'm like, wow, these people, they are aware. I never thought they would be aware. And the way they ran, they dashed out and they caught them immediately. So
And you can't run down, you can't run fast on those staircases.
on the
Those are
stairs,
like,
yeah. It
yeah,
turns.
and
There's
these
a
guys
turn.
must have,
Done that so many
these guys
times,
must
yeah.
know, yeah.
But you know,
Yeah,
another thing
yeah.
I really like about coffee house, apart from the vibe and everything, is on the second floor, which is like, you know, the dotola, like dotola, they have these paintings on the wall, right? All around paintings, which, and I think they are originals as well. You know, I don't know, I've never asked anybody, but I have a good feeling they're
Maybe could
original,
be.
you know, I think original masterpieces by a lot of famous artists over there. But yeah, anyway, so
Could be.
you were going to coffee house, and then what happens? Yeah.
Then nothing like after college, not around after college, in third year, I started looking up where could I do an internship. Nothing more. Because I need to learn. I'm doing the stuff which are being taught in college, but I could understand that this is not enough. And so me and one of my friends, we used to like go and visit these advertising agencies in Calcutta, and many of them turned us down, said that no, you are not good. But I had a good portfolio. I had an illustration portfolio back then. One only Ogilvy, we went to Ogilvy and Mather. So they liked the work a lot, and they said that, yeah, you can come, you can learn, you can do whatever. If we have work, if we think that you guys can do it, you can do it. Otherwise, we are not going to pay you anything. You can come and go wherever. So, and we only have one chair. We can't afford two people. And
What?
so this friend of mine, so this friend of mine, his name is Shatudru. So
I can
Shatudru
imagine
said, okay,
somebody
we
saying,
will.
I can imagine somebody saying, "Ekta hi chair ache, bosbe to bosho na hole jai."
Now jao, bhago. So he said, Shatudru said, yeah, we will manage. So if he works on something for 4 hours, I will stand, and once I start working, he will stand. So I don't know, they might have liked the attitude, and he is very gung-ho, and he has very, like, a few people have a very like instant presence of mind. He's one of those people. So they liked the overall package of both of us, and they said fine.
Package.
So, but yeah, package. But the thing was, it was really difficult because the college was at the other end of the city and office was on the other end. And we had to do college like until 4 o'clock. The college was there. And after that, we used to take metro and go to Ogilvy. And you know, advertising, they don't have any time thing in their mind. Like if the first day when I reached office, I had to stay, I think, until 10, 10:15 at night. And I was like, oh God, where do I come? It's, and Shatadru was, he was very happy seeing Ogilvy mugs. Oh, we are drinking coffee in Ogilvy mugs. I was like, oh no, I want to get out. It's because it's a close environment, and we were just out of college, and we never thought that we had to spend so much time in a close environment like that, and we have no clue that what's going around, and so like we learned a few things over time, and after college, I think just after my exams, they called me that you come and you do a traineeship here. We will pay you something. Yeah. So I said, fine. Because just I was getting out of college and I got a call. I said, fine, I'll join from tomorrow itself. So the very next day I started training in Ogilvy. And it went for almost 4 months. And after that, they conferred me as an employee.
Nice.
And then it started. The journey started. I could not do much with art, art as in like painting and stuff which were there in my head. But I always wanted to do something, but the office used to take up so much time. And and in advertising, it's, you can't leave early. Like you have to be there. You have to be the last person until your boss leaves. You have to be there. Wow. It's kind of, yeah, and the boss never had any family life, all broken marriages, broken lifestyle. So everything, so they used to, office was their, office
life, yeah,
was their life, and they used to stay all the time in office. And so whenever I thought of leaving, I would, if I'm leaving at 9 p.m. also, I have to kind of ask for permission that, wow, can I leave? So it's kind of that kind of an environment. How will you grow as a creative person? It's more like a factory.
Started off with Ogilvy, and I remember you mentioned that to me the other day that you worked for a whole bunch of, let's do a little bit of name dropping, Shanda. So started off with Ogilvy, then where all did you go?
So I started with Ogilvy, and then I moved to Bates. Then I went to JWT in Bangalore. Then JWT, after JWT, I went to Lintas, Bangalore. And from there, I came to JWT, Calcutta. And then I said, enough. Enough is enough. I quit.
So you started off with Calcutta, went all around, and ended off in Calcutta as well. So full loop completed.
Calcutta, and then I quit. But actually, I should not say that everything was bad about advertising. It's it will be unfair. I have learned a lot of things in advertising. When I was in college, I hardly knew anything, and we hardly get to use computers. Though I had a computer in my home, but if you use Photoshop or Illustrator in design, you know the basic things which you do when you are working on a professional level. So that helped me a lot in terms of design, understanding typography, how you can use better type, and you can make a design out of it. So these things helped me a lot, understanding graphic design bit and also ideation, because we had in Ogilvy especially, we had sessions where everybody had to come up with some ideas with the brands which we had. And like there was a Friday night session, idea session. So all these things were there. Like Friday after work, everybody used to come meet in the conference room and share their ideas, whatever they had. And respective brands. So from there, they could build up and build up, and finally, head office, like Bombay was the head office, they would come and they would review all these ideas, and they would send it to all the international awards. So these things also happen. It's not that, but for me, my calling was different. I was not liking it much because it's too much of a structure everywhere. Like you can't, one of my bosses even told me once that, because I used to paint, I used to, those days I was making a graphic novel called Moon Mountain. So I used to paint, and on weekends, because I had no other time, I had to draw in the morning. I had to work on my side projects in the morning before going to office, because after coming back home, it was most of the days it was late night.
Right.
It was late night. So mornings were, I could use up some time, and on the week, in the weekends. So this much time I had, and I was trying to make a graphic novel, and my boss would come and tell me that, no, you have to focus more on advertising, because this is going to take you somewhere else, and I don't know what. But I never stopped. I continued doing what I wanted to. But later on, I got fed up with all this, and I quit.
Okay, and I think that's also when I remember you mentioning the other day when you were talking, is when your you know, I would say the side thing, the life as an artist started. I think that was in Bangalore, right? I think that's when you, I think you said you were working with Pratham Books for a while.
I used to work with Pratham while I was in advertising. I used to work with Pratham, Tulika Books, Penguin, Hachette. All these publishers, I used to work like in a very small quantity, because I knew my time. I never had a lot of time to work on them. So I would take up projects which I knew that I could deliver. And then accordingly, in Bangalore, it was all difficult, even more difficult, because I was staying on my own. And I had to do all these,
Right.
So, when you're staying with your family, you know that certain things are getting taken care of.
Right.
So you know that right, like now I am staying with my family, and they know what is my schedule, and they let me function the way I want to. So I don't have to rush and do something, because I'm at home working, or I'm in the studio working, doesn't mean that I'm free. So When you're alone, you have no choice. You have to go.
So your mother doesn't ask you to go get dhonepata from the Pasher Dukan in the middle of the day.
They stopped. They initially, this like every mother, my mom also used to do it. But later on, she understood that because this work needs a lot of attention, like a lot of concentration. And then... So, but while working on advertising, I started working on other side projects, and even advertising campaigns also, like which had illustrations in them. I used to take up them as well from other agencies. And so I knew that after some time I can kind of leave advertising and do something, because I had an idea that these are the clients, or these are the places, and these are just to start things off, and there will be many.
Right.
Yeah. So then my idea was to stay in advertising for some time and then switch, but that sometime took me 8 years.
Took a long time.
Sometime. Yeah. It's the sometime took, because you know, when you think of leaving, then something good happens in office.
Right.
Some campaign of yours gets shortlisted in some international awards or something, then you get praise and you think, okay, fine, I think this is going good. Maybe I should stay some more time and see.
Right.
But it never happens, because what you have to do at that time. And so I came back to Calcutta thinking that now this is the last year I have to leave. Otherwise, I was nearing almost... 30, that time. So long back. So I so how came did you to Calcutta.
Because you know, I do realize that your and my family backgrounds are quite similar. Like our stories are quite similar. So, how did your parents take it when, like, you know, chhele chakri chhede chole asche? Like my son is leaving
No,
his
chakri
job.
chhade ni chhele. Chhele came with a job.
Huh, but then
He
when they got to
left.
know that chhele is leaving the job.
They took it nicely. My parents are chill that way. So they
Very good.
don't. Yeah, they are very supportive because
Very good.
my father is an income tax lawyer. And he always tells me that used to tell me that you have to do something on your own. Whatever you're doing, job is fine, but job,
Wow.
what will you do doing job?
Wow, that's
Job is
extremely
not.
different from a regular middle class Bengali sort of a
Yeah.
family conversation. That's really different.
Yeah, so it's a very, very otherwise they're very traditional in terms of their other thinking. But like in career, if I was thinking of doing something, they never said no. That no, you can't do this. I was only the person who was kind of delaying it. That okay, no, I need some more money. I need some more money. I need more savings. If I'm leaving, if I'm not getting work for 6 months, what will happen? I need money. So that way, I was kind of delaying it. But they said, no, fine, you leave. Whenever you want, you just leave. If you need money, I'm there. So I will help you.
Tell me this, Sharon.
So that was a very.
Tell me this. So since you and you know, I'm sure a lot of people listening may also be in that same journey where they're also thinking sometime I'll do and then I will leave and I'll follow my path or whatever. Tell me this. So since I know you mentioned about the money bit, which let's face it is probably like, you know, very important. We can't really look away from that. So according to you, in today's date, sitting here in, you know, April 2023, how much money do you think, and I know the answer will be different for everybody, but according to you, what do you think should the average savings account number should be before you decide that, okay, I want to quit, according to you?
For me, I wanted at least 6 months saving. 6 months, whatever my expenses were at that time. So I wanted at least 6 months money. That's all. And which could be like 6 lakhs or seven, six, 7 lakhs or something like that, which should be in your account and you leave.
Right. Arkishunavali,
that was my understanding because that. Huh?
Arkishunavali interest khatiye kabo. Post office rekhe dobo interest khatiye kabo.
No, no, but that plan didn't work out. No, so.
Right.
No, so that plan didn't work out because I had some savings and I applied for School of Visual Arts, their summer residency program. So I got through and the money which I saved got I spent there in the US. So when I was there, it was good. Like I learned so many things, met so many people. I still have a
so
small,
which course were
strong
you doing in SBA?
Friendship.
Which course were you doing in SBA?
It's a summer residency program. Still, they still have do it.
And how
so,
long is it?
And it's a month long.
Oh, okay.
Course, but I was there for a couple of months. I was there since my close friends, like the para which we grew up in. So a couple of them were there in New York. So I knew that my friends are there. I could at least stay. Stay will not be that expensive because the travel and other expenses are there, but stay will be taken care of. And I can definitely with friends, you know how it happens. So, I did.
So tell me
summer
a little
residency
about this.
Program
just tell me a little more about the summer residency thing, because you know I am interested. That's why I'm asking. Ki hoy, like what
yeah, you
do,
could try
like,
definitely.
What do you expect? What can you expect from that? What happens in that? Tell me a little about that. And this was in which year again?
2017.
Not too far away, huh? So what happens in this?
Yeah. So basically, it's a small. They have many. Many courses which are very expensive for us, and those are like MFA programs, BFA programs. So those are expensive. But I wanted to do some short course which could help me understand the market overall, like worldwide, what's happening. And because I had spent a lot of time in advertising, knowing the communication bit, but I never knew the idea of art, into what you can do with art. Just pure art. This is for books and for murals, and these are all pure. You're not doing any other design per se on your own.
I get
like
it. Yeah.
There will be a design team which are taking care of your art, but you are creating art on your own. So I didn't know what I could do with that. So then I wanted something. I looked up for, a few colleges abroad. There was one in Paris as well, but they don't have illustration anymore.
Gobelin.
Paris College of Art.
Okay.
Yeah, they don't have illustrations anymore. I don't because the time when I was looking up, it was not there. So only in because there are many places which had fine arts as residency, but illustration per se you don't have many. So School of Visual Arts is one of the leading places, colleges, and so I went there, and it was a game changer. It's a great experience learning there, meeting people, going to artist studio, what happens there. So it's like from India, the publishing world is very different. And if you go to the US and if you see the world, the actual work, was what happens there, it's in another level. So I was quite overwhelmed to see what's happening around and what I'm doing, and I had no clue. But after coming back from the US, and I started somewhat, I thought that I should kind of, I knew a
plan
a set in my head that what okay is. I want to go, yeah, a strategy, a plan, yeah, that I want to do this. So these are going to be my areas I want to play around. So that helped. The School of Visual Arts helped a lot, and their faculties are they're so good, all of them. They're very helpful people, kind-hearted, and good people.
So is that when also let's say your mural journey began? So I'm trying to understand. So tell me this. Okay, so great, so perfect. So first of all, thank you so much for sharing your story so far. I'm trying to, I'm trying to, for lack of a better word, categorize you. Okay, I know that's wrong, but so do you consider yourself more of an illustrator, let's say in terms of children's book illustration or storytelling of sorts, or are you more of a muralist? What exactly do you consider yourself as?
I don't consider anything. I'm a visual artist, and I can wear many hats as possible, as many hats as possible. Okay. So if, see, my drawing style will be mine. So if I can draw art for kids, then I can modify it to a certain level. If I'm drawing it for a mature audience, I can do that too. I think that flexibility should be there. Though my style will, if, I don't know, people say that they can recognize my style, whether in adult work or in children's work as well. But it organically it happens. When I'm working on a cover which is for a mature audience, the style changes a bit, of course. For kids, you draw characters in certain style. For adults, you will draw it in a different way. But the drawing, the pattern, the colors, the way you draw certain things, so it will not change. You can reduce colors, you can play around with things, you can saturate a few things, and you can be a bit less expressive when you're working on very dark subject. Like for kids, you can do whatever. I love working on kids book because children's books is because it's it lets you be what you want to
Explore a
be.
lot of things.
Because at time, because you can do so many things for kids books, but in like an adult book, there's a limitation.
Right. In terms of
for me as an artist,
things.
I'm not saying that it's
So, but to in these days, if I look at your projects, like, you know, from the time I started following your work last year, November, October, November last year, I do see that you post more about your murals. So is that a reality that today you're probably getting more of mural related projects? Or did I just catch you at that time where you had a lot of murals in your
Yeah,
life?
that both of them are right, because I was doing a lot of mural projects and during November, October, November, December, that period. And also I was doing a lot of book covers. But when you are posting something online on Instagram, especially, just a book cover doesn't excite people much.
I
it's your story.
Agree.
You know, you have done it. You have designed a book cover. You're showing it. It's pretty fine. Okay, nice.
Right.
But for a mural, it's more immersive. It's more experiential.
It's more grand.
As a subject, I'm saying. Yeah, because it's more grand. It's reaching to so many people.
Correct.
That way, I think mural works better on social media than to my followers are not a lot. But whatever I do, it's within limits
sense.
Only. Yeah, within like I have seen like for. And I also love doing wall murals. Definitely more. I like working on book covers as well. But for working on wall murals is something else, because when you design something in a small scale, and the first time you draw it on the wall, and the first layer of paint, you paint on the wall, and the experience, the joy is something else.
I can imagine. Let's talk about that.
It
Let's
will
talk
never.
About that.
It will never.
Let's go into that.
Because
So maybe
digital artwork. Yeah, because painting something digitally, making a cover or something like that, it's nice. You can do so many things, so many iterations, so many corrections. You can cut, paste, do like a lot of things. But when you're working on a large
You know, I
place,
agree
large,
with you.
yeah.
I agree with you, and I'm trying to show you something. So, you know, for a current book that I am working on, of course, can't tell too much about it right now. But, you know, so far, the projects I've worked on has been purely digital. Okay, it's been on my iPad, me drawing on Procreate, right? Last 3 plus 4 books I did last year, 3 of them are out, 4 of them are not yet out. Again, all of them have been digital. And, you know, I enjoy the process, but I see what you're talking
about.
This new publisher I'm working with has given me a mandate or a challenge that it has to be a hand-drawn illustration, like a traditional illustration, not digitally done. And yeah, I know the listeners can't see it, but you know, I've been working on these, so I don't know if you can see it. So
right.
just the basic character
yeah,
explorations.
Right.
But you know, I after
yeah.
such a long time, I went back to traditional media again, right? And I was scared.
Yeah.
Okay, that happened last month, and I'm super scared that okay, what media do I choose? Because watercolor, I'm not too confident about. Acrylic, okay, but you know, it's still. So I finally was like, you know, let's go back to the first love of my life, which used to be color pencils back in the day and crayons. So crayons I still haven't explored, but for this one, I got myself like a set of color pencils, and I've been, you know, exploring with that. So, but yeah, been having quite a lot of fun. So
they're lovely. They're beautiful.
Thank you. And I agree with you that, you know, when you really see it on the screen versus when I see this look, while talking to you, I'm looking at this paper, I think this is giving me a little more joy. The illustration style may be a little different, but it's giving me a little more joy. But anyway, let's come back to your project. So let's talk about your murals, okay? Because I find them fascinating. First of all, I'll ask you about
Thank
your
you.
Projects one by one. But first of all, how does it feel like to be you know, able to paint such beautiful pieces and such huge pieces in your own city? Like, because I think for me, looking at it from that angle, I think that's way more valuable for me, seeing that, okay, this guy grew up in Kakurgachi in Calcutta, and now he probably takes a cab from point A to point B, and on the way sees his murals on some place. Like you mentioned, you know, during Bhashan, you see the one on the Eden Garden one, right? So first tell me, how does it feel to see that? Like to see that, like the mark that you have made in your own city, which I feel is a big deal.
It's more more than me. My mother is more happier because she keeps on telling her friends that, okay, let's go there. He's painting. He has painted another mural. We'll go and see it. So my mother's
nice.
Friends also
So nice.
Go and they also...
So,
so it happens. Yeah.
So is Kakima doing this? That, you know, she's luring her friends to go towards Newtown because she knows the illustrations are there. And she's like, are, that one you see, are, Shayan ek che. Shayan has done that. So does she do that, or is she like outrightly saying, let's
go? No. They also like, all her friends are pretty active on social media. Whatever I post, they know the moment it's happening. So they know and they start commenting, oh, very nice, very nice. We are going to go and see it. So they are sweet.
So are you saying like Bangali aunties are now like active on social media? So I have left Calcutta long ago, so I am not in as much. So Bangali aunties like are proper in social media, is it?
Yeah. Very so, much. You know, These days, everybody is in social media.
I know. So my mother is not on, you know, Instagram or Facebook, but she's on YouTube. And, you know, a couple of weeks ago, we were talking about something and she's like, you know, I figure that she herself searched for something she wanted to watch and figure it out on YouTube. And I don't know, it was such a proud moment for me. And I think you'll get that as well, Shandra, right? For me, it was such a proud moment. My technologically challenged mother being able to figure out YouTube on her own is such... And she's sending me video clips. Like, you know, she got to know that I was not well about something and she found some random home remedy on YouTube. So it was such a cute moment for me. I didn't, of course, follow whatever was mentioned in that video. But it was very, very cute for me to see her send that. But anyway, so, how does it feel? So your parents are, of course, very happy. Your mother is, of course, extremely proud. What else?
Yeah. Well, it feels good because when you're getting the opportunity to paint something in your own city and a place like Eden Gardens where... Mm-hmm, it's such an iconic global landmark. So I'm painting something over there and getting praised by Saurav Ganguly. So that actually kind of I love that moment actually when we were painting.
No, wait, I'll ask you about the Saurav Ganguly second story in detail. But just tell me this, now that you've got so many, how many murals are there in Calcutta right now, which you have done?
Five, six,
okay. Is it
like there are many small murals in
cafes and
parts
stuff.
And pieces. Cafes, one of them got shut down the world. More than six.
But is it something, is it like a flex that you use while talking to girls that, you know, that I have done.
I'm not in that age anymore.
Is it an easier flex? Ki, are, oh, to, you came by metro, which metro? Are, haan, you see that? That's who else did that? So I'm guessing that would be a big flex for you. But anyway, coming back. So let's talk about your project. So let's talk about the Eden Garden ones first, and then we'll talk about the Metro one, the most recent. So let's tell me about the Eden Garden one. Yeah.
So they're like, I have done two murals in the Eden Garden. So the second one was back in 2019, quite some time now. So that happened before the first ping ball test, which happened between India and Bangladesh. That it happened just before that. So there were like two walls.
So how did they reach out first? Let's start from that. So how did they reach?
So there was an agency. There was an agency who used to work with Cricket Association of Bengal, CAB, and they wanted mural artists. So, but I had no idea. I never did murals before. And again, one of my ex-colleagues.
Was at Eden Garden.
Yeah.
When you first bought a chokka.
No, I did like small mural in my Bangalore house and my Calcutta residence long back, but not in that scale.
Yeah.
So That agency actually pitched for the thing, and this agency, the ex-colleague who actually got me in touch with that agency. So he asked me one fine day, are you interested in painting wall murals? I said, yeah, why not? I am open to paint anything. So then he said, okay, fine, then you have to develop a design, and they have a few other artists, and they will approve whichever design they like. So I said, fine, I will develop it without any advance, without any money. I said, okay, yes, I'll do it. If it happens, then
it's a huge
something
deal.
Good will happen, of course. Right. It's a huge deal. So so luckily, my design got selected, and because it had a lot of cricketing actions, motion, like it's more like a, like the idea was actually the first time kids go to a stadium, how do they feel? So it's they are awestruck. They see all these legends playing all around. Like they are looking above. Like all these players are playing. They're running. They're jumping. They're throwing the ball. They're hitting a six. And these kids are like looking at them in awe. So that was the idea. So they liked the idea overall, and so it happened. And I got my art college juniors were actually helping me out on that project.
Oh, okay. Wow.
Yeah. So that's how I developed a team, because I never had a team before. Mm-hmm. Now I have a team who work on public art projects. Mm-hmm. But back then I never knew. So these people were there, and we got really tally with each other, and we started, and luckily we finished it on time. And again, we did another one in 2019, which I was telling you that Saurav Ganguly came and praised the work a lot.
And again, did you get to meet Dada once again? And you said, hey, Choto Vela had gone to your house. Is the painting still there? Did you guys?
No, I never said that. No, because he is always surrounded by so many people, media people, like the BCCI official. Because that time he was the BCCI president.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So he was very occupied with a lot of people, and he just came to me and he told me that the work is fantastic, and I really appreciate the work you guys are doing. So that's what he said, and we greeted. That's all.
Okay.
And I could not share my story.
But after that, did you open your shirt and wave it around like this while he was going away?
Yeah.
From the scaffolding, you were standing in your banyan, like painting it around like that.
So after that, like there are many other wall murals which I have worked on with the same bunch of guys who helped me, like the design, basic design I do. But now they know how things are, because we have developed a process so that, because whatever work we do, these government projects, they don't have a lot of time, and they have very, because they're the most of the time goes in there in the planning bit. So once they know that, okay, this is happening now, do it in like 5-6 days or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And we had to, we do it pretty fast. So,
So, okay, let's talk about the process then. So, let's say, I do realize, this whole, to the listeners as well, go to Shayan's website. He's got a few images of the murals he did at Eden Gardens. You will get to see it. I feel it's amazing, even the idea. And, I think one of them, it's like, somebody who's kids who are playing in the neighborhood on the streets. And then the whole image progresses into, this person probably has grown up, is wearing the national jersey, and is playing for the country, right? So it's again a lot of storytelling happening there. It's not just like a one mural, see two things coming together, Shayanda. One is, I think, your ideation thing that you said in from your advertising era, right? Like the ideation coming up with multiple ideas and then selecting or chancing on that one amazing idea. And then also, I think, in terms of the storytelling from the books you have done, and the communication that you've
absolutely
done, right? I think both merge together very well in that. So tell me this.
Because I don't want, personally, I don't like doing something which is which is not telling you any story on a wall. Because if you're painting something on a wall, all these people are going to look at it. You can paint a realistic, nice looking animal or character, whatever, but that story, where is the story? How are you going to tell the story? So I try to keep that, and again, it depends on the brief also. That if the brief is such, then you can't do much. But like most of the projects what I've done so far, they kind of let me play around with the ideas, so it helped me.
So let's talk about the process. So, you know, because again, I've asked this to a few other mural artists as well before on this podcast. So that's something which I always find very interesting. Like, you know, how do you create something? So you have something on paper on a small scale. How do you really blast it up to that large scale? So take me through that. Like, I know you mentioned you do a multiple number of things. So let's talk about those if possible.
Yeah, there are many processes actually. You can do projections, which is very easily available. You can design and you can just project it on the wall, draw it like that. But most of the cases, we don't get that much space in the background so that we can place the projector in such a way that it captures the whole canvas.
And can you use any projector for that, or do you have some specific projector that you need?
Any, like it depends on the lumen.
Right. The brightness, how strong the light.
Brightness, the clarity,
Right.
It depends on that. But apart from projection is easy. Projection is very easy. Apart from that, we draw it on location. Like we divide the entire design in like few batches and we start drawing it. Like we have big pipes, long pipes, and we fix the permanent markers on top of that. And use masking tape and we draw freehand on the wall.
Wow.
If it's in within our reach, if it's like within 15 feet.
Right.
If it's within 15 feet, we can draw it. So that much control is there in our... And now we can do it. We'll do that. But if it's more than that, if it's a big vertical wall, then projection is a process, is a way. And you can do... I used to do another thing, which is take the impression on a butter paper, like a gateway sheet kind of a paper, which you get in like the printers, all these offset printers, they have it. So we use red oxide on the other side of the design and we put it on the wall and we trace it. We just put lines on it.
It's like a carbon paper thing. It's like a carbon paper thing.
Carbon paper, yeah.
But for that, your original sketch also needs to be that same size, right? Otherwise, it won't work. It'll only work when you're doing two scale. But if you're doing it, let's say enlarging it, then I think you have to go for the projector or that pipe and marker, which I feel it's quite difficult. I know you were saying you find it easy now.
Most is I think the gridding system, which you divide your painting, design in grids.
Isn't that going to be easier?
Grids are difficult because if it's a vertical wall, if it's like 5-6 stories, story building, and if you have designed something and you have to divide it in grids, and from there on top of the building, you have to put your thread and someone at the bottom who has to hold it and then leave the mark on the wall and then you have to do the grids. And then draw it. So it's a long process.
So the quickest,
very labor intensive.
So quickest one would be what? The pipe method.
Yeah, the basic hand drawing is always the quickest. The projection. Projection also, yeah.
But if it's for... Because I know for the Calcutta Metro one, you did a projection. Because I think I saw it on your reel. Yeah. At night, you guys went and projected it up.
Yeah.
But that's
yeah, that was...
I would love to, you know, whenever I'm in Calcutta, every time I go home now, I will ping you 10 days before that once I take my tickets.
Please do.
If there are any murals which you're doing, I would love to do that. Like, I would also like to take somebody and say, you see that one red mark over there? That's by me. That one red color that you see there, that's by me. That one leaf that you see drawn there, it's by me. So I would love to do that. I want their bragging rights. If
it's a, I will. I will tell you whenever if you are around. I will definitely let you know and come and help.
Perfect.
Anytime.
Perfect. Okay. So now that you have got like, you know, 6-7 big murals, and I'm referring to Calcutta mostly because, you know, we do come from that same place. Any stories that you have, like, because I remember in that reel that you had shared about the Calcutta Metro one, I remember seeing that, you know, at night you guys were doing and, you know, you guys were projecting it on the wall, metro station, and, you know, you're painting.
Yeah.
Any stories that happened, you know, any of these classical Bengali stories where somebody comes, hey, dada, ki hoche? Something of that sort. I'm sure something would be there. So any stories that come to your mind?
Stories as in, definitely there are a lot of stories happen when you're working outdoors.
Mm-hmm.
So the metro mural, actually, the plan was to work during the day. Since we required a lot of natural light to paint. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, at night it's very difficult. But we don't have a good scaffolding there because the wall, we didn't have a proper base because the cars were passing by from below.
Right.
Yeah. And the building and the top was something that somehow the projection, the scaffolding bit was not figured well.
Mm-hmm.
And so we had to arrange for cranes. Now, these cranes are not the ones which you see abroad or mm-hmm. in other parts of India where muralists paint, which mm-hmm. goes from, which moves mm-hmm. vertically up and down.
Mm-hmm.
So those are pretty good ones, but mm-hmm. these cranes are very basic and they are just for painting like big walls. You just primer it. You mm-hmm. you just do some corrections on right. the walls or something like that. Some basic mm-hmm. functions. They are not made to work on such a large space in terms of a painting process, painting murals. They are not right. made for that.
But do they you are have made to just cranes, or do the metro people get the cranes?
No, there was another agency which was the part of the process. So yeah, because these logistics are very difficult to figure out. Because you can design these things, but you need the other
somebody
parties
else to support,
which
come
and support.
And especially in Calcutta, I can imagine, like, it must be a nightmare, na? If you have to handle it, like, this guy is like, dada, aschi, 5 minutes, and then this guy is not there for the next 2 hours, and you are sitting there waiting. Does that happen quite a bit?
No, I have never faced anything like that.
Very nice, and so happy to hear.
Because, I have, these projects happen pretty fast, and mm-hmm. All the people, because the time took with approvals from the client.
Mm-hmm.
Apart from that, there's nothing. Like, all these people were there, and the agency which was part of the project, they were super fast in mm-hmm. doing things.
Very
so good. They helped. Yeah. So they helped us a lot. So whatever, like, we planned it during the day, and these cranes were big, humongous mm-hmm. cranes, and they were blocking the roads on a Monday morning. And we were painting up. And the,
and this is in New Town, right? This is in New Town. So, like,
this is in EM Bypass.
EM Bypass.
So, which is right. close to, if you know, Money Square Mall.
Yeah, of course. Very close to your house, man. Like, you could have walked there. But,
it's very close.
It's very close. I can imagine you're blocking EM Bypass on a Monday.
On a Monday morning.
Wow.
So,
okay. And
so
for the
these
non Calcutta people, EM Bypass is probably one of the arterial roads of the city, which, you know, connects the north to the south. And it is, if you know that road gets blocked, you are stuck in Calcutta for the longest time. So EM Bypass is like the proper. So you were.
Yeah.
Wow. Pre chile rashpotta dekho. Okay. Tarpore what happens after that?
So what happened was, the first day went pretty well. We started on a Sunday. So it went pretty well. There were not enough traffic.
Mm-hmm.
But problems started arising on the Monday,
Hmm.
because when we were working, and like by 11:30, 12-ish, the cops came and they said that you have to stop the work. So I said, why? Because we have started some bits we covered, and we were enjoying the process and we wanted to paint. And I asked him what happened. So he said, no, some high court judge just passed by the road and he complained it in some top level authorities that these guys are blocking the roads, and the traffic is very, like, we could figure out, we could see from the top that there were many cars in the queue, they were coming.
Mm-hmm.
So and the queue was pretty long.
Mm-hmm.
So we had to stop the work.
Going all the way to which side? Like Mani Square theke chhariye, going all the way to your
Lake Town. Until Lake Town it was blocked.
Achha, on this side, Lake Town. Okay. Achha, you were doing it on this side.
Because the traffic was coming from the other end.
Mm-hmm.
And the entire road got blocked.
So you're opposite.
So we
Mani
had to
Square
come
then. Yeah, opposite Mani
Square.
Yeah.
So I had to, we had to come down and we had to stop the work.
Mm.
And then again, we started the later part of the day. And then again, it happened. Cops came and they said, no, you can't do it.
Mm.
And then we were in a fix that what to do, because we have started now. How will you do it? Because, and we needed a lot of light.
Yeah.
Natural light. Otherwise, how will you paint? So this agency, they helped a lot. They figured out a proper high beam lights, which could like just like the floodlights. They arranged something in a day or so, and we stopped for a day, and then the lights came, and then we started working from late night, like 10:30, 11-ish, when the traffic is less. Less cars, and we can start the work. So from 10:32 morning, 5:36, we used to work for like 15 days and we finished.
15
nights. Yeah.
So you're properly like sleeping in the day and like working in the night in that case.
I can't sleep in the day because I'm a morning person always.
Uh-huh.
I can't stay up late, and I'm always early to bed and early to rise kind of a person. So like if I'm staying up the whole night, the next day goes for a toss.
So
the next morning I'm sleeping like for 3-4 hours maybe.
Right.
Like 3-4 hours sleeping, 3-4 hours for 15 days kind of takes a toll on your body.
That's true, but I also think because you're doing a mammoth project like that, I think you will also, your body will be quite excited to kind of complete it. So I think
you're immersed in the process. You don't
process,
feel anything.
Yeah.
After it gets over, then you feel, oh, this side is paining, that side is hurting, and all these things you figure
after
out later when you, yeah, when it's done, you're fine, we're home, then you know this. But it's a like very, very difficult project because if infrastructure was not, initially it was not that great, because these cranes were such when they used to go up, when like on the topmost part of the wall, it used to be straight, and when it used to go down, it used to kind of bend towards the frontal part. So it used to kind of, we had to stand on the railings. We had to put our feet on the railings and put the paints in such a way so that they don't spill over.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's a lot of work.
Yeah, so it's a lot of work.
Are you scared of heights? Are you a person who's scared of heights?
No.
Okay. That works.
Thankfully.
Exactly.
Thankfully, yeah. But putting all those, like, harness, then your safety helmet, and working with them is a bit difficult, I feel.
I can imagine that too in Calcutta heat. Which is like, so as of now, which would be the largest piece that you have done in terms of murals?
I have done a wall in Arunachal Pradesh with Start India Foundation.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the wall which is pretty big. I don't remember the exact size, but it's pretty wide and height. Where I think it starts from 10 feet, and it goes until 35 feet, and then again it comes down to 10 feet. So it's like a mountain if you draw it like that. Yeah. So, and it's big.
Mm-hmm.
And they say it's the longest wall in Northeast India.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It's just the outer wall of the Civil Secretariat building in Arunachal Pradesh, Itanagar, is the wall there.
Okay, perfect. I'll probably. Yeah. So it's not on your website, na? Because you just told me your website.
I have not. I will update it. It's on Instagram, so okay. I will update it.
Perfect. All right. Yeah. Cool. So perfect. So tell me this, like, you know, I know the murals are one big part of your, you know, the work that you do. There was also a Google Doodle, right? 2021. Mm. How did that happen?
Yeah. I don't know. It happened just like that. I suddenly, one fine day, I got an email from the Google team that, hey, we like your work. Why don't you draw a doodle for us on Indian Independence Day?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's it. Fine. I will definitely love to do it. And it happened very organically. I don't know how it happened. So I asked them later that, how did you reach out? And they said that we found you online and we liked your work, and that's how it happened. But the process was interesting because the Google Doodle team operates from New York, and their team was there in India as well. So kind of I had to send my sketches to the global team, and they had to get it approved through the India team, because the cultural nuances, they will not know much.
They won't get it.
So, they won't get it. But it went off pretty well.
Perfect. Thanks, man. Chandra, this has been a great conversation. Like, I wanted to know about, you know, your experiences, especially with the murals, which, and I always know that, you know, whenever you're doing a large art piece in a public space, there has to be stories around that, because of course so many people would be interested. I'm very sure there are times when there are just random passers-by stopping and, you know, just tapping your shoulders and asking, okay, what are you doing, and a whole explanation of the whole thing.
Most of the time, what I have seen people whoever pass by, they just ask for the dabba kahan milega, ye dabba de sakta hai humko. So
what?
They just look for the paint buckets. If they don't ask about the art, it's everywhere. Wherever I paint, they look for the dabbas. They look for the paint buckets. So recently, we painted in Bihar, Patna. We have seen that in Arunachal Pradesh also. People used to stop their bikes, cars, and ask us that, when are you guys finishing? When are we getting these paint buckets?
What? This is so weird. This is the last thing I would have thought of. Like, I understand, I've seen paint buckets being used as buckets all over the place, yes. But then, still, like, people stopping their cars.
I don't know why. Yeah. So, I don't know why. It's weird.
Do you, like, charge money for those? You can charge money. Like,
no, of course not. No, it was, once we are done, we leave the place and they do whatever they want. We don't care much. What will you do with all those buckets? You can't go anywhere.
Okay, tell me this. So, I want to know another story. This is the last story, I promise. So, you know, after you have done a mural, because it's in a public space and people can interact with it, has it ever been that you go back to the mural, let's say a few days, months, weeks, whatever later, and you see people interacting with the mural in a way that you had never imagined? Anything that comes to your mind? Like, you got surprised. Like, what the heck are they doing with this mural? Anything like that?
They take selfies all the time. That's what they do these days. Apart from that, I don't remember. Like,
good.
They most of the time, whenever I pass by any mural which I've done, they pose and they take pictures. That's what they do.
Makes sense. So, have you ever done any of those? You know, in Bangalore, it became very famous, I think 2 years ago. It was everywhere. You know, those wing murals, those fairy wings on the wall that people can stand next to. Please don't do that.
Yeah.
If you get money for that piece, I hate those for some reason. It's just way too many of them now, and they don't look good.
No, it's weird. It doesn't look good, and everybody's doing. I think mostly it all these cafes, pubs, they do it. They do it, and they have a particular
Instagram
section
wall.
where people can Instagram wall. They can take pictures, and that's bullshit.
That's yeah, exactly. That's stupid. That's exactly. That's really stupid. Like, you know, in Bangalore, so many of the in front of like random public walls, you'll find these random you know these wings, and I don't understand. Initially, it was quite interesting to see that. Oh, okay, that's quite you know a good way to interact with them. But then I think it just became too mainstream after a while. But anyway,
everybody was doing it.
Yeah. Everybody
Once
was doing
it.
Yeah.
True. True.
Anyway. So with this, Sharanda, we'll go to the last question. So first of all, thank you so much for this lovely conversation, the lovely adda. I can use the word adda in its
Yeah,
full
it's a
way.
Good adda. It's a good,
yeah,
good
exactly.
adda.
I can
Yeah.
totally use the word adda
Thank
for
you so
this.
much. Like I have never spoken in like so many verticals, I would say, from my college days, early school days to college days of
to
office.
advertising to.
Of, advertising
Perfect.
to my art journey, like it's been, this is the first time I'm speaking so much. I don't know, but it was a good experience
But
altogether.
do tell your
Talking
mother to share this link once this episode is out, to share it with her friends, because you know that way I'll get a couple of more listeners. Even if it's Bengali aunties, it's absolutely fine. I don't mind that demographic at all. Anyhow, with that, I'll come to the last question, Sharanda. This is of course a question I've asked everybody, almost everybody who has come into this podcast since season one. Why do you do this? Like, what is today your reason to, you know, stay up for 8 hours in the night with 3-4 hours of sleep on top of a crane which is about to kind of tilt in front with dangling paint buckets and people are down there asking for your empty paint buckets? Why do you do all of this? What's your reason behind this?
It's fun. It's like it's a lot of. Well, how should I say it? I think it's my life. I like it the way it is, because I don't want it to be too structured. And painting is something which is so close to my heart. And I dream of, I can paint all the time. And so it's why do I do it? It's a very difficult question, because it comes from within.
Right.
You can't do anything else, because if I tried doing advertising, I couldn't do it. So I had to come here. That's why I'm here, and that's why I do it. So,
Dadu would
and
have
I will keep
proud,
doing
no?
it. Maybe, yeah, he never saw me paint in such a scale, or doing like taking art as a career.
As a career
he never imagined.
Career.
And when he was there, he never imagined that art would be such a good career in the future. He would definitely be happy and proud.
That would be.
I don't know. Whatever I have not done enough. It's a journey. I'm just learning and growing. Until now, whatever I have done, he would be definitely happy and proud.
Definitely, man. To stand in front of Money Square and look at that mural and think that, okay, you have done this. I'm pretty sure that would have been, or even Eden Gardens for that matter, for a Bengali, for a self-loving Bengali to see a mark on Eden Gardens is like a big deal. It's a very big deal. So yeah, congratulations to you on that. That's fantastic. That's
thank you. Thank you so
a
much.
Really
thank
huge
you.
Achievement. Perfect. So, you know, Sharanda, thank you so much for your time. I think since last October, ever since I got to know about you, I've been, I think we texted and we have been in touch ever since. One thing which I really hope for and wish for is to paint beside you. I am a little afraid of heights. I do have that. So, but yeah, we'll figure it out. I would love to be on a plane with you on one night and, you know, paint on the streets of Calcutta. That will be an absolute dream. But yeah, thank you so much for your time. I wish you all the best, and I hope you get to paint even like, you know, more and more walls and tell more stories through that as well. So thank you so much.
Thank you so much. All the best to you as well. It was a lovely conversation, and all the best to your art journey as well, because
thank you.
Whatever you're trying, I hope you achieve that and do good work.
Thank
work
you.
Good is a very subjective.
Yeah,
So,
exactly. Yeah, that's actually right. No, that's actually right. I feel, you know, I feel sometimes because of this whole pressure of doing good work, a lot of
Good
times
work,
you probably end up saying a no to some work which may not really look good initially, but has a potential to turn into so-called good
But
work
that
later.
helps too. That teaches you a lot. The stuff which are not good, that teaches you a lot.
Right. What you
And
do
helps
want
you
to do.
understand a lot of things.
Absolutely.
Yeah, the things which you're maybe you're not as good as the other things, that helps you identify
Absolutely.
things, I
Absolutely.
think.
It helps you eliminate a lot of things in future. But yeah, lovely conversation, Shanda. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you, Sharnavu. Thanks a lot. It was a pleasure talking to you.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
All right. So that was a really, I would say, warm conversation. It's Calcutta, so I have to use the word warm here. So that was a really warm conversation with Shanda. Shayan Mukherjee, I'm going to call him Shanda. But yeah, do remember to check out his work. And yes, if you get the chance, drop by my page as well. And yeah, we'll see you in a bit with another guest in the Paper Pencil podcast as always. Till then, cheers.